Hello and welcome to a brand new special episode of No Time to Bleed. I know it's been, 3 months? I think it's been 2 months, something like that. It's been a while, anyway. But we are back with another new episode. So this time we brought in Carrie.
Hey.
And we let Carrie choose the movie. Now, of course, the stipulation for No Time to Bleed is that this movie has to be a ridiculous action movie that we love. And since it's Carrie, who is the host of Mouthful of Toast, Carrie, why don't you tell people what the movie is?
Sure. It's Fist of the North Star.
Oh, shit.
From 1986.
This movie, just so you know, is insane.
It's probably the most brutal of any of the movies that you guys have featured on No Time to Bleed, despite the fact that it is animated.
It is definitely the most brutal, without a fucking doubt. So, of course, like Carrie said, this is a 1986 film about a guy who is wronged by a friend and then goes on a killing spree to get back his girlfriend.
Yeah. Fist of the North Star started as a manga in like 1983. And
that long before? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I mean, they basically had to have enough material to work with before they could turn it into a movie, given the fact that there's maybe like one new 15-page chapter like every week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it takes a while to get that much, you know, manga material up there.
Okay.
So,
all right. So, before we start, we will give our general impressions and an out of five score. So, Carrie, I will let you go last since you chose this insane fucking film. Mike, I'll let you go first.
So, I was never really into the whole post-apocalyptic thing. Like, I'd never seen Mad Max or anything like that just because it didn't interest me. But someone told me that I should check out Fist of the North Star because Back in like 1994 or 95, something like that.
Yeah, that's when I saw it.
Someone was like, "Oh, you should check out Ninja Scroll," and I was like, "Oh man, I really like this. Like, this is a grown up ass cartoon." And then they were like, "Check out Fist of the North Star," and I was like, "Oh, okay." And I watch it, and then I was traumatized.
Pretty much that.
But this movie is so ridiculous, man. I forgot how ridiculous this movie is. It's something that at least every anime fan should see, because yeah, I have no idea what to say about this movie. This movie is fucking just gory. It's gory as shit.
Like, but it's not even like realistic gore. It's just like red spurting out from.
it's like Shaw Brothers, like old fucking kung fu gore, like punch in the stomach, bleeding from teeth, falling down gory.
Right.
Like why did that kill him? I have no idea.
And they don't waste any time either. 4 minutes and 1 second into the movie, and you see someone get irradiated.
Yeah, like, good fucking Lord. All right, my impressions of this movie are pretty much the exact same because I got into the anime that I did get into was around the same time because you're the one who told me, like, you need to watch Ninja Scroll and you need to watch Fist of the North Star. I, however, went a step further and I bought Fist of the North Star on VHS. Now, you chose the movie, Carrie, but I know I've seen this movie more times than you have.
You definitely have.
I think I've seen it. This was probably my 11th time seeing this movie.
Wow.
For some reason, like, it really spoke to me when I was a kid. Now I'm just like, what the fuck was I thinking? This movie is madness. But I, like, rewatching it last night, I just realized, like, holy shit. Even cartoons in the 80s were fucking insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It is nuts, and we will talk about exactly why it's nuts.
I mean, I think it represents the insanity of the original manga pretty well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so over the top. It's like, this is not only like a quintessential like action anime, but it is a quintessential action movie, like, period.
Yeah.
So, no. It's so ridiculous.
And what are our out of five scores? What would you give it? You're allowed to give, on No Time to Bleed, you're allowed to go above a five.
10 out of 5.
10 out of 5. All right. That is actually on this show, that is a modest score. I believe on the first episode, Brad gave Commando a 20 out of 5. So, you know, it's fine. For me, I would give this excessive bleeding out of 5. And Micah, your thoughts?
I would give this 45 exploded heads out of 5.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. And that's fairly accurate. All right, Carrie, take us through it.
All right, so it starts off with like this really shitty narration. The narrator for the English version is just like, so there's this Earth and it's pretty bad. And, you know, there's nuclear apocalypse and blah, blah, blah. And
it then, really doesn't feel like he gave two shits to give this narration. Like, what the fuck is this movie about?
No. So then there's opening credits with really misleading symphonic music and background images.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is lovely. Oh, yeah. And then,
and then
death.
Yeah, and then immediately someone gets blown to bits.
So I guess what we're supposed to understand is that there is just like a nuclear holocaust, yeah, right, across the Earth, and there's just dead bodies everywhere, which I didn't think this was said in the movie, but I guess this makes sense. Was the nuclear holocaust the reason why people have superpowers now?
I don't know. I don't
and
think
that there
that
are
was
giants.
yeah, the movie does like doesn't address that at all. That's just how they were drawn.
Yeah, there was
that
like,
was
eh,
that
fuck
was
it.
The style in the 80s.
80s, man. 80s is an interesting time all around in reality and in cartoons.
Yeah. So I think in the manga they said despite the nuclear holocaust, like 30% of the Earth's population managed to survive. And then they're just like fighting over resources. And
all right, that's fair.
So
look, this one scene that's going on right now, because we have it up on the screen.
Souls just being sucked out of the bodies.
Where are they going?
I don't know.
So like the thing with this movie, and I think what was like a profound impact to me was I had never seen anything so violent.
Yeah.
You know, like, there was, like, implied violence in movies. I mean, fuck, I grew up on Predator and Terminator. I mean, sure, although those movies are very violent, too. But the level of, like, mass violence in this movie just for, like, 2 hours in cartoon form is just, like, fucking unbelievable.
There's barely a reprieve from it. And like as soon as we meet Ken, who's the main character, he is the Fist of the North Star. Well, it's a title.
Yeah, like,
I was gonna say, what the hell does that mean?
it's and, like Jesus Christ.
And his lady friend Julia, and
lady friend.
Yeah, and this, I don't like. It's weird because they're walking through this desert and somehow they did not notice this blonde guy whose name is Shin.
Right.
Just like showed up with this group of guys and was like, hey, I'm here to take your lady.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. They're like, oh shit. I'm like, what do you mean, oh shit? It's a flat surface. Right. That guy's coming. He's a mile away. I see him.
Right.
And he's dressed ridiculous. I'm pretty
he's
sure
got
that's
a
Ken.
Cape. Like, so.
Like, what would.
Yeah, like literally out of nowhere. It's like, huh? Shock.
Ken and Shin. 10 other dudes.
No, like, this is Shin. This
or
is
Shen, excuse me.
So, yeah, Shin shows up and, like, just beats the shit out of Ken.
Now, Shen, for all of you who've never seen this movie, Shen is the Fist of the South Star.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
And Shin and Ken used to be bros, and then Shin was like, nah, I want his lady.
I want your girl, man. So actually, we have a clip of that exact dialogue. And it's hilarious because it's the perfect example of exposition of like how to say exactly what's going on. It's very funny. So here you go. Oh, wait. Sorry. I'll edit it out.
I've won and you have lost. The question is, why? Because the power of your will has no ambition to feed it. Nor the need to crush your enemy.
Oh, no. Shin, at one time you were Ken's closest friend. He trusted and respected you. When you were chosen as Fist of the South Star, he was glad for you, glad for his friend's success. But you were never really his friend, were you?
Yes, I was. But then he left, and when he came back, he brought you. The first time I saw you, I knew you'd be mine someday, and that day has come.
Shin is a very rapey individual. Okay, like, just for the record. But mm-hmm. once again, like, exactly what we said is exactly what they say. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
One, I love Michael McConaughey, his voice in any anime.
Yeah.
You know, any video game or anything he does. That guy's awesome. Two, you gotta love that exposition.
You weren't really his friend, were you? The Fifth Star and the South Star are not supposed to fight. Like, all right, lady.
All right.
Whoever is doing her voice is, in a word, horrible at this job. Like, there is no emotion whatsoever, but yeah. You gotta love it.
And, like, Shin doesn't really want to kill Ken. Shin just wants to take Julia. And so he's like, if you say you want to come with me, like, I'll stop kicking his ass.
Yeah, dude.
And she's like, and like, in the most dramatic, like, it's the most dramatic shot in the whole movie where it's just like the close up on her face and she's just like, I don't know what to do. And then she like gives in and leaves with him.
Yeah. Like, I'm just bitch. A girl.
Say you'll go with him so he'll take his fingers out of my abdomen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Let's not gloss over the fact that once again, Shin has superpowers. Yeah, and
Shin like a hot knife into butter, just like digs, like pokes 7 wounds into Ken's chest in the shape of the Big Dipper.
Because he loves astronomy.
Yes.
He's a huge fan of it.
Yep.
Which I remember, like, that was the scene in the movie that just broke my brain at like 14. I was like, what the fuck? I can't stop watching this. I could not believe it.
It's so bad.
Now, when they first start fighting, though, before he sticks his digits into into Ken, and I mean that in the most perverse way possible. Before that happens, they like jump at each other and do the classic like anime like kick past each other. And when they land, all of Ken's extremities just start bleeding profusely.
Yeah. Yeah, ew. I'm not sure.
I don't know what's going on in this video, but it is madness. I can't play for you the screams, but just know that as he's putting one digit into each peck, it is horrifying.
Like, he's not even really putting that much effort into it. He's just like poke, poke, poke,
and then
all four.
Gross.
And then meanwhile, like, crazy grainy close-ups on Julia. She's having an existential crisis. Like,
no! He's like, just do that guy. Like, if you could just stop murdering me, that would be great.
So,
I like this moment where there's like a flat, you're seeing it from Ken's perspective,
yeah.
And there's like flashes of blood squirting on the screen because that's all coming from his mouth, I assume.
Yeah.
Very nice, whoever directed this movie, because I don't really care.
I don't know who directed it.
They should be put in a fucking psych ward.
It was done by Toei Animation, which also did the anime series. So,
is the anime series any good? I've never seen it.
I actually haven't seen it either. But I'm assuming it covers more ground than this movie ultimately covered.
Does the anime series take place during this whole thing? Like, before this and, like in the same world or, like, before
I'm
going to
be honest
after?
With you. I've got no fucking clue.
All right, that's fair. If you don't know, I don't know. I can tell you that. All right, so from here, now, during this scene, Ken's two brothers are watching from a distance.
Yeah, so they don't... Actually, at least not in the English version, they don't tell you what their names are until they show up later in the movie. But it's the guy with the bandages on his head is Joggy, and then the guy whose face you don't really see that well is Rao.
Rao, yes. I have to tell you, one of my favorite things about this movie is that the size of characters changes dramatically.
Yeah, they grow and shrink throughout.
What in the fuck is going on there? I was like, wait, I thought, oh, wait, Rao is normal size. And then the next time you see him, he's like a giant.
Yeah. Well, you don't really get much of a frame of reference when you first see, like, Ken and Shin, because you're like, oh, they're normal size. And then you run into the kids later on and you're like, oh, they're 8 feet tall.
Right. Like,
everyone is huge in this movie.
So Shin takes Julia and leaves Ken to die in the desert. How he did not die after this, I've got no fucking clue.
He has fucking superpowers, so fuck it.
And then, meanwhile...
How he did not die after what happens next. So, we mentioned that Joggy and Rao are there. And Joggy's just like, ah, fuck you, and I'm gonna pick you up and throw you off a cliff. What the fuck?
That's exactly what happened.
Dude, that's your brother,
like,
man.
Hey, it's not as though, like, you know, he just has been bleeding out in the desert or anything. I'm going to throw him off the cliff.
Yeah, like,
just
apparently,
to be sure.
Yeah, like, apparently it wasn't enough. Joggy's a fucking asshole, okay? Like, he's not a good brother, I would argue,
no,
at all. No.
He sucks. And Julia left behind these seeds. These magical seeds.
The beans for Earth.
Yeah, that will make the Earth healthy again. Question mark.
I'm not sure I buy it. But, so, like Micah said, Jaggy, with all his bandages around his head, proceeds to throw Ken off a cliff.
Yeah, he just, like, drags him for however long, and he is so excited to throw Ken off
to kill his own brother, by the way. That's gonna be awesome. Yeah. Fucking Jack. Woo!
And then punches the ground so that this giant boulder falls off of the cliff just to add insult to injury.
Yeah.
Just to put an exclamation point onto that horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder what Jaggy's problem is. I feel like he's got some resentment built up. And I don't think it's very reasonable.
They all have resentment built up. And we learned this when Rao pays a visit to a special old man. And
Ryokan? Is that right? Is that dude's name? He looks like the old dude from Dragon Ball Z. Let me rephrase that. He looks like every old dude in every Japanese anime / kung fu movie that has ever existed.
Yeah, so...
Sweet-ass beard.
Yeah, Ryukin. So he visits Ryukin and is like, Ken is dead. The Fist of the North Star is dead.
I am the Fist now.
Yeah, I am the Fist of the North Star now. Blah, blah, blah.
Ryukin is kind of a dick. He's like, no. he was like, listen, I'm the new Fist of the North Star, and, you know, basically I'm more powerful than you've ever been. And he's like, I don't agree with that.
I'm not sure I'm on board with that.
Yeah. For an old guy, he really didn't give a fuck. Kind of respect that.
So
that's
like,
what happens when you're old, man. Fuck it. What the fuck are
Ryukin
you
Ryukin is the guy who taught Ken the art of Hokuto Shinken, which is the ability to destroy people from the inside out.
That's positive.
Yeah.
And scream while punching them really fast.
Right. So the thing is, like, the four, quote, brothers, Ken, Rao,
Jaggy,
and Shin, they were, like, training to inherit that art, and Ken was the youngest, and Rao feels that it is, like, his right as the oldest to get it.
And that's the thing, it's like, none of this is explained.
Right, none of it, like, that's really the downfall of this movie, is that this movie relies on the fact that you've been reading the manga, so you know what's going on, but it doesn't explain that. So,
I feel like there should have been, and I don't know if the manga says this or not, I feel like each of the four brothers should have been a fist, like Fist of the North, South, East, and West Star, and then, like, had them battle to possess all of them.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how that happened.
Yeah, but they could have collected them all, like Pokemon.
Or like Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Balls.
Yeah. See? Guys, my ideas aren't that crazy.
So,
No, so just Raoul, stolen from other properties that have been invented.
Like any other good idea. Reinvent the wheel. Now, at this point, Raoul is... He is just destroying everything around him in Ryokan's
He's killing... Place. He's destroying the entire dojo. Yeah. He's like, if you're not gonna, you know, dub me the Fist of the North Star, I'm gonna take it for myself. So, and he gets super jacked up. He basically, like, he goes Super Saiyan, basically. Like
without the sweet mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so from here, we're led to believe that a year has passed. The movie doesn't say so, but the Wikipedia entry does.
Yeah.
thank you, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
A year has passed, and Ken is found wandering the desert. Now,
not just wandering the desert, looking like a jacked up Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, but
he grew a beard.
Yes, to show time, I guess. Yeah. That was their way of showing it. But now, what doesn't make any sense is, like, the scene you see immediately after this are these kids in this, like, dune buggy.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, trying to escape these other crazy dudes that are trying to kill them and steal their stuff. But when Ken shows up, he's in, like, a cocoon of sorts.
Yeah.
That, okay, like, why? I don't know, like, fuck it, who cares? And he just shows up, and the cocoon starts to break off, but then there's, like, a sweet coat underneath.
Right.
I was just like...
I don't understand that. I never understood that, but I was like, that's sweet.
Yeah, like this makes total sense to me, once again. Now, the funny thing is, when the kids are on the dune buggy, the perspectives in the buildings that they're, like, driving through don't make any sense.
No.
None.
Not even a little bit. They're driving on skyscrapers, and like they literally fall off of an enormous skyscraper.
They would have died
and keep driving like it's nothing.
Yeah, I was like, that's not how walls work and gravity and sorts. Like they're just driving straight down a skyscraper. It was awesome,
right?
And then you know, basically.
This is when we really start to see that all of the men are 8 feet tall and look exactly the same.
They do. Like, they don't look any different. One does not look any different from another.
They're all wearing exactly the same clothes that are just colored differently.
Yeah. Now, look, Ken is wearing what I would presume is a mud suit of sorts that's made of straw.
Oh, and he's just punching skyscrapers down as he walks by.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And I like how these guys are like, hey, there's a guy punching down fucking skyscrapers. Look, one landed on his head and it didn't kill him.
Yeah.
He's still walking. I'm going to pull out my knife. I'm going to pull out my knife and try to take this guy on.
Great.
Poor choices, guys.
Yeah.
Poor choices.
Very poor choices.
And so as Ken is walking through and knocking down entire buildings, Transformer style, you get this, you start to see like who he really is. And he's got a sweet fucking Jesus beard because it's been a year and he's pissed. And then he just proceeds to beat the ever-loving shit out of these guys, and it's glorious. And this is the first real, like, major scene of violence in the movie.
Right. Like, seeing Ken getting his ass kicked, like, that is mild contained to what this starts.
Yeah, like, he's punching people in the head, and their heads are literally exploding. Literally. I'm telling you, this was another scene where I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing now.
This is...
Okay, I'm all in.
Like, this is what people remember most about this movie, is just exploding.
Yeah, this is why I bought it on VHS, and why I watched it another 9 times up until last night.
Yeah, so the little girl, Lynn, she's barely bigger than the one guy's foot.
Right.
Like,
perspectives, guys.
Yeah.
So at this point, like, one of the dudes shoots a crossbow into Ken's chest, which, yeah, I'm sure that's going to work. That guy just punched a skyscraper down. And then Ken lifts him up by his skull and just crushes it. And the guy screams, and then blood, and then dead. And Ken, once again, eyes not open, not saying a word, just murdering people.
Yeah. Just like, why are you guys picking on these kids? I'm going to kill all of you now.
All of you.
And the fact that they would even, like, after watching a guy, like, have his head explode in front of them, like, oh, I'm going to get you. explode, explode, explode.
He kicked that dude's head completely back.
He kicked it in, and then it exploded.
Like, what?
God damn it.
This movie's amazing. Blood squirting on a kid. The kid is freaking out. Yeah, you should be freaking out, dude. This guy's a crazy murderer.
That's the appropriate reaction.
Yeah, I'd be like, time to go. And now he's got my friend. Well, it was nice knowing you. I'm fucking out of here.
I like how Lynn was able to avoid being crushed because of, like, lightning that came out of her body. We skipped that part. Lynn was like, like, she screamed with her mind voice and lightning came out of her body and then Ken showed up and killed everyone.
I like how none of that's explained. None. Zero. How did Ken survive? Where has he been? Like, eh, fuck it. Listen, mind scream, shows up in cocoon, sweet Jesus beard, heads exploding.
Look.
Literally were the things that happened in this movie in that order.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Japan. Yeah. I don't get it. All right, keep going.
He hangs out. The kids, for whatever reason, are like, yeah, this is the kind of guy we want to hang out with. This
yeah, he's the guy he's the
we
man.
Want to associate with. Then bandits show up again because that's what happens.
Why is that guy so heavy that his feet literally
they all indents. Have the like literally they are all the same guy. They all have the same Z tattoo on their heads. Fucking look at them. They're all the same. They all wear they're all driving motorcycles.
And they all have mohawks that are just different colors.
And their leader has 666 tattooed on his head. That's how he's different.
This is like Final Fight. Just a bunch of palette swaps with the same four dudes.
I feel like this is post-apocalyptic Final Fight. I don't think you're wrong. Like, they're even drawn in a similar ridiculous manner.
Yeah.
Ken's like, I heard someone mind scream again. I'm going to blow up this bed.
As he gets up from the table that he's lying on, it explodes. For whatever reason, they locked him in there. Nothing can hold Ken.
Yeah. I just love how they're like, hey, let's put a piece of wood on that door. You just saw that guy, like, blow a skyscraper up. Like, why would a wooden door do anything?
No.
Just blow the building up. So Ken comes out, and he's like, oh, shit, son, you guys done fucked up.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, this villain guy, this leader of the Marauders or whatever, he kind of looks like the villain from Mad Max. You know,
a lot of this is taken from Mad Max. From Mad Max. he kicks a piece of concrete into this guy's mouth, and the guy just chomps down on it.
Once again,
whatever.
Once again, during a post-apocalyptic situation, everyone is given superpowers.
Yeah,
that guy's superpower is being of enormous size, and then becoming even bigger a few seconds later. And also having teeth of steel.
Yeah.
That can crush a brick.
Perfect teeth, by the way, in a world with no dentistry.
Right.
That is correct.
In a world where they don't have food.
Right.
Oh, my God.
No food or clean water. And, like, all these guys are like, yeah, we're going to attack him. He's just, like, keeping his same pace, throwing his arms up, nothing.
And heads. Exploding.
Explode.
Look. This wasn't this a game?
This was
there
a
have
couple
been a few
games. Yeah, like there was
have
one
they been any
out.
Good?
There was one that came out in like 2010 called Ken's Rage, where it was a Dynasty Warriors clone, where you're walking around, literally walking around. Sorry, ESPN update. You're walking around. And these swarms of dudes come in, and you're doing exactly what Ken is doing here, just beating the shit out of people and making them explode.
And their heads actually explode and shit?
Their bodies, heads, whatever appendage might be. Whatever appendage that hasn't exploded,
so
explodes.
Excellent.
Explodes.
So again, giant guy takes the little girl hostage, because everyone wants to just kill this little girl for whatever reason.
People in the future really hate little girls.
And Ken beats the shit out of the big guy, which then leads to the best line in the movie.
Yeah.
And we have this clip also.
We certainly do, because it's fucking awesome. Here we go.
First you suffer, then you die. Nice and slow. You hear me? Because when I fight, it's always to the death.
That's right. In fact, you're already dead.
Is that so?
Oh my God.
That was not the explosions of a building. That was the explosions of a man.
Yeah.
I love that. Just like, in fact, you're already dead. I like how Ken literally has no emotion. It is kind of a quintessential 80s action movie thing. Like, he's like a Charles Bronson type character. Like, oh, there's all this mayhem and death and all the apocalypse. He's like, in fact, you're already dead. Like, he just doesn't give a shit. I can respect that. I can respect his not giving a fuck type attitude.
I like how the guy who just killed 200 people then has this nice gentle moment with the little girl.
Yeah. He shaves his beard off.
Look at those eyebrows.
Jesus Christ. They're like two fucking caterpillars on his face.
Like Eugene Levy.
Yeah, he does.
Beating the shit out of people.
You know what? I would watch a live-action Fist of the North Star starring Eugene Levy. Have you seen the live-action version?
No.
Holy shit. Look, this movie you can watch, the animated one, you can watch on YouTube in its entirety. After you watch that and you realize how insane it is, if you haven't already seen it, go to Netflix. They have it streaming, Fist of the North Star, the live-action movie. And go ahead, take a couple drinks, maybe like 100, and watch that movie, because it's fucking madness. It makes this movie look reasonable by a mile. So Ken
gives Lynn, who's the little girl,
it's okay,
these seeds.
Yeah,
and then leaves. He's like, you know what? You can have these. Bye.
And then once again, like, they just got attacked by a series of marauders that, like, we're going to literally crush her in his hands. And he's like, take these seeds. I'm out of here. Like, we might need you. If you could just stick around there, Ken.
No.
Please.
He's got places to be.
He's like, I'm newly shaven. I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So, oh, and he somehow restored her ability to speak.
Yes, using
pressure points.
Sure.
No. Right.
Once again, this universe is set up for madness, so let's just do that.
Let me cut to another fight.
All right, I had not seen this in a long time. I thought that this was a woman and that her power was that menstrual blood that was coming out of his hand.
That would be awful.
Because it's Shin, right?
But yeah. No, this isn't Shin. This is Rey.
This is Rey. And Rey is in a pink cloak. And he's got his hand over his crotch, and
it's bleeding.
And it's bleeding. Like, what am I supposed to think?
I don't know. Even
the guy with the nunchucks who Rey was fighting thought that this was, wait, you're a dude?
I like how I was like, you're a dude? Yeah. So you were just going to murder a woman with nunchucks in the desert, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, good job, dude.
And Rey has some weird ability. I fucking forget what it's called.
He
can just, like, slice people up with his hands.
I find Rey to be the catalyst for the most brutal scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Rey just literally cuts a dude's arms off.
He runs by and cuts his arms off, and the guy's just like, oh, no!
I didn't even feel it! You know, and he just throws these two arms back at him to hit his chest, like two fucking ham hocks, and he's like, bunk, bunk. There you go, asshole. Now, Rey is on...
I fucking love this movie, man.
So fucking insane. So Rey is on a quest to find the man with the seven wounds, the Fist of the North Star, who has captured his sister and put her into slavery.
Yes.
Now, Ray is under the impression that the Fist of the North Star is this guy with this mask on, who we will find out later is definitely not Ken.
Correct. Obviously not Ken. But this group of bandits, which is attacking this village, has this enormous statue of a guy with Ken's chest, but with this crazy helmet on.
Right.
And they look exactly like the bandits from the other scenes.
They look like the bandits from every scene ever.
Except they have ponytails. There's a guy buried in the ground, and they force this other guy to be like, hey...
If
you truly believe in the Fist of the North Star, if you truly like pledge your loyalty to him, you need to decapitate this guy. Like, what?
I don't want to join any club that
and then they
has
him.
Me murder someone. Yeah, and the guy's like, I can't do it. And they're like, oh, that's fine. And they just take a club or a hammer, I guess, a giant hammer. Mjolnir, if you will, and just fucking hit the dude in the back of the head with it.
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous. And then Ray shows up.
And look, I'm telling you, man, Ray is the most badass dude on Earth. I think he's more of a badass than Ken is. Because he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he is not trying to be anybody's friend. He doesn't care. He's got a mission, and he's going to slice your fucking arms off to get there.
Yeah. So, disgusting. This guy hands... Ray, this saw, and I think we've got the clip of this scene too.
Yes, we absolutely have.
This is so good.
This is actually the funniest fucking scene in the movie.
All right, you hold it. I'll give you this much. You got guts walking in here like this. Give me that. So, with all due respect, I'll let you be the one to cut his head off.
That's quite an honor, but I'd hate for you to miss all that fun on my account. You sure about this?
Hey, what are friends for, right? Wait a minute. I was talking about the other guy.
Silly me. What a foolish mistake.
I got a splitting headache.
Oh. Better now?
Oh, I got a splitting headache as he's got an axe in the middle of his head.
I love this. So if you haven't seen the scene, what
it's
happens...
So good. This is the best scene in the movie.
It actually is. I would actually argue you're probably right. So what happens is they hand Ray the axe.
The saw bat.
Yeah, saw bat. There, that's probably the best way of saying it. He puts it in the head, like right up against the skull of the guy who handed it to him, one of the many guys drawn with that palette swap.
Right.
The guy's like, hey, wait a minute, I was talking about that other guy. And then he's like, oh, yeah, my bad. And then he just basically slices through his head anyway. Because Ray gives zero fucks.
Yeah. And then Ken shows up and...
punches a guy directly in the face.
Yeah.
I love how Ray can just dispatch people with a series of Vogue poses.
Ray is super gay in this movie, guys.
Ray, like... Look, I've talked a lot about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure on our other shows, and there are many things, particularly in the first arc of JoJo's, which started not too long after Fist of the North Star started, that took a lot of inspiration from this movie.
Oh, is that right?
Particularly Ray and Ken. So.
Well, you know what? Ray is the most badass gay dude roaming the mostly dead earth. Because you're right, he's just voguing and
scratching dude, and then like he's scratching him like, oh, what are you scratching me? But then his scratches then, like, take your arms off.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
He just runs his well manicured fingernails down your face, slicing them into delicious chunks. So basically he is on the lookout for who he thinks Ken is, or who he thinks the Fist of the North Star is, but obviously turns out that it's Ken's brother Jackie who's pretending to be the Fist of the North Star.
Jackie's got like some serious breathing issues, but
he is fucked up, dude.
Look, to be fair, like there's a flashback scene that shows Ken and Jaggy fighting, and first of all, Jaggy's like, I'm gonna kill you with a gun, and Ken's like, Nah.
Yeah. like a gun, dude. Seriously, bro.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing now.
He hits him with the gun a few times instead of just shooting it.
See, this is why you were going to lose.
Yeah. We see this scene primarily from Jaggy's perspective, which is sort of interesting and a nice way to save money on animation.
You're fucking right, too. Like, I'm going to punch you. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Look.
Beat
now,
the shit out of him.
Yes, he did. Now, my question is, are we, like, what happened with the holes in his chest? Because did he do those himself? I guess so he could pretend to be the Fist of North Star?
Maybe. Well, he as he's trying to prevent his head from exploding, he gives himself multiple, I guess, pressure relief wounds. Like, his head should have exploded.
Yeah.
And that's why his head is wrapped in bandages in that first scene.
Right.
And then by the time he's taken over, you know, Fist of the North Star title or whatever, he's got like this metal plate keeping his head from exploding.
Dude, like, let me just say this, going back, the live action version of this movie, the guy who plays Jaggy, it's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find the image so I can show you.
Right.
Like, it's actually done not too terribly. I'm pretty sure it's I forget the actor. He's been in like Quentin Tarantino movies. I was like,
oh,
why
boy.
Are you in this? What the fuck happened?
So Jaggy's like minion like sees him taking him a nap and like is like, oh man, like you're really gross and like almost throws up. Because like Jaggy's face is so fucked.
The guy literally turns around and he's like, bleh, like he's like scratching at his own tongue. It's like, you don't want to look at my face.
Jaggy's ventilator, or whatever it is, his breathing issue. Like, I would think he looks like he would sound like Darth Vader, but instead it's just like,
I'm in this helmet. I'm in the helmet, guys.
Oh my god, I'm looking at images of the live-action Fist of the North Star. This movie looks god-awful.
It is. It really is. And the guy who plays Ken is awful. Awful in it. And the guy who plays Shen is maybe worse. Maybe.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, go ahead. I'm
sorry. All right, Carrie, continue.
So, I mean, there's basically just all this nonsense going on at Jaggy's place, and Ray and Ken show up, and there's a wall, and Ken just punches straight through it like
fuck
it's
you.
Nothing.
And a very large man.
And there's a giant behind it, because that makes sense. Bigger than anyone we've seen so far in this movie. This guy is the biggest guy in the movie.
Yeah, he's fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like a big Mongolian king hippo.
Yeah. So
no one gets past me.
Do we have the clip of this?
Oh, yes,
oh, yeah.
We do.
So let's play that.
Well, what have we here? Why, of course, you must be Lord Jaggy's brother. He told me that you'd be showing up sooner or later.
Good. Now get out of my way, pig.
Nope. I don't think so, not today. See, the boss told me to stop you. And nobody gets by me unless I say so. Hey, what's the matter, little fella? You got your hand stuck? You're not the first one it's happened to, and you won't be the last.
That's gross.
You see, that's why I'm Lord Jaggy's bodyguard. He doesn't like uninvited guests. And since you don't have an invitation, I'm afraid you're gonna have to leave. Next time, call first.
Need a hand?
I do appreciate the offer.
But I can handle this guy by myself, thanks.
Yeah? That's what you think, wise guy.
Yeah, so Ken proceeds to kick what I assume is all of the guy's skin out of the way. I don't think the person understands how anatomy works.
It's weird. Like, he kicks a crater in this guy's stomach so that he can then punch the pressure point that then makes this guy's body not just explode, but completely evaporate.
Yeah. He was made of fantasy. But the kicking scene is so insane. Like, he literally he's like kicking him, and it literally opens up a crater on the guy's stomach. And the guy's like, no big deal. Let me just rub my stomach back together. Yeah,
let me just, like, push it back in place.
Like, ew, dude, gross. But before that, Ken strikes one final blow into the guy's open wound of sorts. Ugh. And that guy goes, hey, I'm fine. And then he just has these giant fucking cancer growths on his disgusting stomach and just explodes. And like you said, he literally just evaporates. Once again, this is a movie, guys, that people spent money to make for real. But that's why we love it. All right. So then Ken basically comes up on Lord Jaggy after he walks in, and he's like, yo, what the fuck? Trying to be me, son.
Right.
That's mostly the dialogue verbatim.
Right.
Now that sounds like Fist of the World Star.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, I'd watch that movie.
You know what? I would too.
The blackified version of this movie.
Black version of Fist of the World Star.
Oh, good.
Fist of the World Star.
Think about it.
We should do it.
Yeah, we'll do it on Black and Black. Well, we'll direct this movie and then do it on Black and Black. Go ahead.
So they show up at Lord Jaggy's place, and they've got Ray's sister.
Unsurprising.
Yeah. And she is blind, and also, like, brainwashed, and is like, oh, you're selling me to someone new. Oh, boy, how exciting. And
right.
Ray is, like, trying to rush and, like, kill Jaggy as soon as possible. And he's just like, all right, I'm going to put a gun to her head. If you try to attack me, I'm going to kill her. Shrug. Like,
whatever. I like how superpowers versus guns. Guns seem to win.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't.
It's really dumb.
They don't have super speed, unfortunately, I guess. No. Just run right up there and slice his face off.
No. So, like, Ray's really trying to get his sister back, and
he tries to fight Ken at one point.
And, yeah, and Ken's just like, no.
Just calm down.
No. Like, I don't want to make your head explode. Like,
you don't want me to do it.
Right.
So at this point, Ken beats the shit out of Jaggy.
Well, what's really funny and really dumb is that, like, they're inside this building and they're like, Ken's like, I'm going to fight you. Like, you're being a coward. Like, if you were really the Fist of the North Star, you would fight me yourself. And then, like, they end up on the top of this building. Like they were like, okay, we're gonna take the time to walk up here.
Right. Like, look, dude, when we get up there, shit's getting real.
I love how Jaggy's like, you're not gonna manipulate me. I've got a gun. And then he's like, you're a coward. I'm like, okay. And like, he just manipulated you, bro. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know you can't win.
Jaggy's the fucking worst. He's so dumb.
Look at my face! Oh my god!
He's got all this metal keeping his head from, like, his head really wants to explode. His head's like,
it's dying to do it.
Yeah.
I would just take the metal off and be like, bye. Yeah, he's got, like, it's pulsating. Look, Jaggy is disgusting. Like, he is a disgusting human being by all accounts. And so he puts back on the helmet because that makes him feel better, I guess.
Look.
And then Ken,
if I Ken had proceeds that head, to, I would want to wear that helmet.
I would throw myself off of the building I just walked 19 floors up to the top of, if I look like that guy. And so he goes after Ken. Ken is like, no, punch, face, done.
That's it.
Game fucking over. So, I mean, we can just sort of skip ahead. Jaggy is defeated. But before Jaggy dies, he reveals that he was the one that convinced Shin to betray Ken, and that Shin is now living in a stronghold of in the Southern Cross. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. the best part about the Jaggy fight is that, like, he pulls out the gun again, and Ken is like, well, you know, pressure points, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he turns the gun on, like, Jaggy turns the gun on himself. Like, no. Oh, no.
Oh, shit, I didn't think of that. Like, I guess you didn't.
Right. That shit might as well just be magic.
Right.
Well, yeah, and Jaggy's head fucking... His head doesn't explode like normal. They take their time showing him just fucked up.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's a mini boss.
He is. I mean, this movie
fight is so fucking ridiculous. He's like, I'm going to throw enormous blocks of concrete at you, Ken. They just shatter on Ken's body like it's nothing.
We'll see. And of course, Shen proceeds to just
murder everyone.
Dude, he is slicing people like they ain't shit. It's like, Vogue. I kind of wish they had just played the music, like Vogue by Madonna, like as he's walking through the scene. Like, move to the music. Slice, slice, slice.
And then Ray kills everyone, gets to his sister, and his sister's like, please let me suck your penis.
Like, yeah, like, oh. I mean, all right. It's a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, and then Ken does the pressure point thing again, and then Ray's sister remembers everything because she had been brainwashed.
But she just refuses to open her eyes. She's not actually blind.
No.
They established that.
Yeah.
To make you feel something for her, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't feel anything for her.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, they move on, and then it's Ken and Ray and Bat and Lynn because the two little kids show up again, and Lynn's like, I have a flower! And
what the fuck?
And Ray's sister is not seen again for the entire rest of the film. She's gone.
Done. No one cares about Ray's sister. After bringing her back, they're like, yeah, whatever.
So we see Julia for the first time since the start of the film.
Julia Gulia.
And she's sitting on a throne. And it seems as though Shin is, like, really interested in, like, making her comfortable and being, like...
He doesn't want to seem like a bad guy.
No, like, he's
except
like,
he's
look,
a horrible person.
I know I tried to kill your boyfriend and I kidnapped you, but I love you more than he did, so you should kind of get with the program.
Or I'll fucking stick my finger in a place that you don't want it to go. Remember your boyfriend? Do you? Do you remember it? Because I know it was a year ago, and he's got a Jesus beard now, but don't forget, I don't fuck around.
It's pretty weird, because, like, you would expect, like, the way that Shin acted at the first scene of the movie.
Yeah, him to be, like, kind of shitty to her.
Like, really shitty, like, rapey, terrible human being.
Oh, he's definitely rapey.
But he's just like, I want to treat you like a queen, and, like, he has, like, this gorgeous wedding dress made for her and all this other stuff, and, like, it's just, it's crazy.
This,
like,
movie is ludicrous. I think it bears repeating, because every time there's a new scene, I'm like, oh, okay, that's crazy. Like, you know, so now we have Ken and Ray sitting by a campfire, I don't know, telling ghost stories.
They have a very serious fireside chat. Meanwhile, the kids are still there. Yeah. Bat and Lynn are like, we're just along for the ride at this point.
Well, how did they catch up to them in the first place?
Dune buggy.
Yeah, that's it.
There is a lot of moments in this movie. I feel like a good hour of this movie that is just unexplained. People show up. People are surprised when people show up in a desert. You know, people grow to the size of giants or are the size of regular human beings. Just things happen. It's really, really quite funny.
Yeah.
All right. So now, where are we?
So,
Rao. Rao has been amassing an army.
King Rao.
King Rao.
King Ralph has been amassing an army. And
then they run into another army.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This guy was Shredder. This guy. that Lyle's about to fight.
He just fucking threw a knife in the back of that dude's neck.
This is ridiculous. These two armies fighting. Ridiculous.
How big is that guy? Jesus.
He's so big. He's got flowers in his hair. Then he turns himself to steel because that's a thing he can do.
That's right. That's right. It was this
that's
guy.
James Avery.
Is that who did the voice?
Yeah. James Avery did that guy's voice. James Avery, a.k.a. Uncle Phil, a.k.a. Shredder.
That's really hilarious. I like how James Avery played the voice of a Japanese man in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay.
Orokosaki. Like, no, your name's not Orokosaki.
you're fucking Uncle Phil.
You're Philip Banks.
Yeah, this guy is huge, and he's knocking people to the ground.
He's huge. He's made of steel. He caught a knife in his teeth and then smacked the guy down, and the guy went splat.
Well, not just splat, but, like, his body parts just exploded on the ground. Why would you go after this guy? Stop walking in his way. He's murdering everyone. Yeah.
Particularly when one of your brethren is hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, I'd be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to take that dude on. Like, he seems fine. There are people, like, hanging on him. He just smashes his hand against all of them.
Meanwhile, Rao is just like, all right.
I guess I'll have to murder him myself.
Sitting on a horse, which is like the only animal we see in this movie.
That's true. I would assume that horse is 900 feet tall because Rao is, at this point, fairly huge.
Rao is not as big as the steel guy fighting him, though.
No, he's not. But he fucking puts a whooping on this dude.
Yeah. Like, he hits him 3 times in the head and then uses magic, ?
Yes.
To propel him through a mountain and then into another mountain and kills him.
I like this scene because it's insane. He just shoots a fucking laser and that's enough. Like, that's just a thing that happens. And then, kablam, that guy's dead.
No, he survived being shot through the mountain.
And then I believe he explodes.
And then he explodes, yes. This is the grossest thing. It's just, like, layers of flesh. Which, like...
chunked out.
Like, through.
God damn it, movie. Like... That scene is literally gross.
That's one of the grosser scenes in the film is when you see that guy's flesh
just pop out.
Popping out through his steel.
Like, oh, come on, man.
I can only imagine what it's like to be high watching this movie.
Well,
tell us all about it.
There you go.
Carrie's like, so last night.
Yeah, not even joking. So anyway, back at Southern Cross...
We're not going to judge you.
It's fine.
No.
Good. I would hope not.
Who the hell am I?
They go back to Southern Cross and Julia has like a fucking moment when she's like, Ken is still alive. She literally rips all of the clothes off of her body. She does not have nipples.
Yeah, she's built like a Barbie doll for some strange reason. Like that's...
Yes, do it.
It's a little disturbing.
Like, she couldn't, like, take the dress off perfect. Like a normal person. She had to, like, rip it off. And wreck it. And, like, ruin that nice fabric. Like...
I like, from like, a person who sews perspective, you're like, you bitch.
Ruin the hard work that Shin put into that dress.
Yes.
And then
probably had a slave make. Because fuck everyone else.
Right. So, Julia runs away. How she didn't get caught by a single person is...
Yeah, and she's like... She's dressed like an explorer from the 1940s who like...
Well, she's wearing what she wore at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Is she going spelunking? Like,
is that guy in a car?
Right! Where did that car come from?
So Rao's army is...
And there's M. Bison.
Yes. Rao's army is approaching... Southern Cross, they have reached the perimeter, and Shin is like, where's Julia? send 100 men to find Julia. I know this enormous army is about to show up and kill all of us. But I need you to find Julia. Julia is underground somewhere.
And finds a bunch of fucking dead bodies.
Yeah, skeletons everywhere.
This is the most horrific world of all time. Like, of all time. Like, hey.
Literally a pile of skeletons.
Ugh. God damn it. So she's sad because... Why wouldn't she be?
Because skeletons.
Because skeletons. At this point, Rao and Shen meet, and they go at it. And it's pretty good, actually. Like, all of the boss fights are pretty decent.
Boss fights? That's exactly what
I mean, they kind of are. I mean, in fairness. But, like, they're also nuts, right? You know? But... Is it, I don't think it's now, but maybe it's later when Ken ends up fighting that one dude with the horns.
Like, oh, yeah.
That is my favorite scene in the entire movie because it makes literally no sense.
With the guy who has, like, the huge cat of nine tails, like...
Inside his brain?
Inside of his head. Yeah.
What? Cool. Yes, and...
Oh, so Ken shows up and watches Shin die.
Because I guess Rao punched him... So hard that those moments showed up later.
Yeah.
That's a pretty sweet power, by the way. Like, I'm going to beat your ass. Don't worry about it. It'll show up next Tuesday. And then you'll be fucking dead. Rao is a badass. Like, you know, it's an easy way to not get arrested. Although I don't think there's a lot of police forces in this future world.
No, absolutely not.
So Shen is toast. I felt like Shen should have died in a more valiant way. Personally,
Shin basically spends a couple minutes just talking about how much he loved Julia and how much he knew Julia never loved him as much as she loved Ken. But this wedding dress and blah, blah, blah. And they were going to get married and he could be happy a little bit. And then he fucking gets his ass kicked by Rao and
through
dies.
Magic. Like, next Tuesday. Now at this point, it's sort of the latter third of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Like we're starting to see like this army amass with Rao, and he's got a guy in a car. Where they get gas, I don't know. maybe they just have slaves pushing it. I would assume. And they're sort of marching through town.
They're basically having a parade.
This is like a Nazi parade.
It is. That is exactly what it is. It is a Nazi parade. I do not understand what that guy is doing in that car.
Right. He looks like he's a full-size man standing inside of a power wheel. Like,
it's so ridiculous. It's pretty much that.
And then Ray and Bat and Lynn show up in the dune buggy. And Bat and Lynn are like, let's go see the parade. Oh, boy.
Like, it's a murderous parade, guys. Don't go there.
Like, we want to see. Lynn has, like, a moment with Rao. Some, like, weird psychic connection. I don't know. I don't fucking know. She's a weird kid.
Look, I don't trust this girl. All right? She's nothing but fucking trouble. With her silent mind screams, her fucking sweet... white bandana. Yeah, I don't trust it. Fuck you, lady. But, yeah, so Rao's sort of like, hey, there's a little girl here. Because, once again, all these guys are a little bit rapey.
Yeah.
All of them are a little rapey.
Well, first the horse is like, there's a girl there. And then Rao is like, just stares her down.
I'm going to need that girl. Bring her to me. Yeah, and so they have a weird R. Kelly, Aaliyah moment as they're staring at each other. Think about it. She too was young.
And then she bails.
Like, gotta go. Now, is this when Ken shows up? Like,
no.
Soon after this?
No.
All right, keep us on track here.
No. So, God, where am I in my notes? It's fucking weird parade. And then Bat... Lynn and Ray hear about... Well, first, Lynn saw Julia, like in the parade.
Oh,
like,
right.
Captured in this car, like in the parade. Like they're showing her off
for
whatever
for
reason.
For what reason?
And Lynn, despite the fact that she'd never met Julia, is like, that's Julia. Like,
hey, there's a random white woman in that car. I bet that's her.
We don't see many other women in this entire movie.
A lot of dude on dude in the future, guys.
So
a lot of dude on dude.
Lynn and
that's what everybody looks like.
Bat and Ray are like, well, she's definitely in the dungeon, so we should go see her.
And they make it in there.
Yeah, like, no problem. They make it in there.
They're like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, you know, like, there are not a lot of guards in the future, so we're just gonna walk downstairs.
Yep.
Check it out.
Here's your plant.
Yeah, here's a flower.
Like, thanks.
We grew this from the seeds that you gave Ken that he gave us. We don't know where he is.
Yeah. Like, and we're only 30% sure that you're actually who we think you are.
Right.
But it turns out they were right.
Yeah. And so they give her the flower, and then they leave.
This guy.
Yeah. Then Ray, for some reason, has the standoff with the Cat of Nine Tails guy.
Yeah.
And,
Best.
Like, well, no, they...
Best standoff.
They do it because Rao is like, where'd you get that flower, bitch? And then they put her up on this enormous cross.
A crucifix.
Like, not a crucifix that you would think of in your head.
No, this it's like 900 feet tall. Yeah. Everything is gigantic in this movie.
So they're like, no, there are no flowers here. Flowers are not allowed. We do not appreciate flowers in Rao's kingdom. Blah, blah, blah.
Fuck life.
And then Ray takes responsibility for it. Ray is like, that's my flower.
Because he's the gayest man in post-apocalyptic murder world or wherever the fuck we are.
He's like, I did it. That's mine. Fight me. And then he fights the guy with the whips.
Look, I don't have a pair of Cat of Nine Tails, but if I did, I would like to think that I would have two pair and I would store them inside of my skull. Because that's where this guy stores his Cat of Nine Tails.
Yeah, I don't know where in his helmet.
No, I think they're in his brain. I think this guy's not very smart. He has a very small brain, and it's surrounded by the ends of Cat of Nine Tails. That's what makes him so violent. But once again, I remember seeing this the first time, and I was like, I was not prepared for that to happen at all.
Also, this guy is 80 feet tall.
Yeah, at a minimum. And, you know, and he's like, he's got a whip.
I can't even remember if this guy even has a name.
I don't think it matters what his if he had a name. And so the guy's like, hey, wait a minute. You tied my two whips together. Now, he hasn't even pulled out the Cat of Nine Tails at this point.
He had two regular whips. And then he's like, oh, wait, I got these horns. I got these Cat of Nine Tails.
He pulled them out of his head.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, directly through the two holes in the side of his skull. And then he proceeds to, like, throw down these two sets of Cat of Nine Tails. So big that he just destroys some of the earth. And Ken jumps over him.
Ray jumps over
him. Excuse me. Ray jumps over him and
slashes him to ribbons.
Yeah.
Like,
so much blood. So much blood. And you know what? I support it because that guy, when they pan out, that guy's just literally laying there in chunks.
Yeah.
It's fucking gross. All right. Keep going.
So, God. Ray decides, I'm going to fight Rao.
I don't feel like that's a good idea, Ray.
This does not end well for Ray.
No.
Wonderful synth music from the 80s plays in this scene.
Yikes. And it's so good. You know what?
Actually, the music was one of the best things about this movie for me. I really dug the music.
Look, I like synth music. I kind of do.
This was easily the most, like, holy shit, we're in the 1980s part of this movie.
Yeah.
I kind of want to now that I know how ridiculous, now that I've seen this as an adult, I kind of want to watch the series. It's got to be insane. Is it as violent?
We'll find out.
I'm gonna find out.
You still gotta watch JoJo's, dude.
I do need to watch it. You said it's really good, right? Now, Ray. Fuck. Ray is taking on Rao, and meanwhile, Ken is just slowly walking.
Very slowly walking.
Like, dude, we could really use some backup here.
We could really use your help right now.
He's got a sweet fucking jacket on. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
It is an 80s leather jacket to end all 80s leather jackets with no sleeves.
And you know what? He blows it off of his body at least 3 times during this film, and he just, like, regenerates.
You're not wrong.
Like...
God damn, this movie is fucking nuts. Yeah, so here, let's skip a little forward.
Literally, Ken does not pick up the pace until, like, he hears Lin, like, scream again. And then he's like, oh, shit. Like, and then he starts running.
I guess I should probably get my fucking ass moving.
And then he gets there in, like, a minute.
Yes. He literally just takes off running. He's got super speed, which he never had that power before. Meanwhile, Rao proceeds to throw a jacket over Ray and while he's jumping in the air, and then he just impales Ray with one finger.
Yeah, and kills him.
Very well. Is he dead? Is he completely dead? I thought he was, like, just dying.
No, because he has to give... he has to give Ken the, you shouldn't fight Rao. You really shouldn't fight Rao. There are other ways. You shouldn't fight Rao. And then Ken's like, I'm going to fight Rao.
shit gets real. It's
like, literally, like, Ray spends like 2 minutes trying to convince Ken to, like, take the kids and leave, take the seeds. Like, you can accomplish your goal. Like you can't beat him. You can't beat Rao. Can't do it.
Yeah.
And Ken's like, oh, I'm going to do it.
But then he doesn't. Like, that's the great thing, right? So then Ken and Rao start fighting. And they proceed to beat the ever-loving shit out of one another.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good, actually. It's pretty good. There's a lot of
Julia
extremity...
Julia disappears.
Gone.
Yeah. That cross breaks apart. She flies away. That's it.
I would assume that she literally just grew wings and just sprouted wings and just got the fuck out of there. Now, they have a full-on, like, Magic the Gathering, Dragon Ball Z, in midair fighting, on horses.
Yeah, the horse is flying. That's the best part.
Yeah, they're
Rao never gets off the fucking horse until, like, the very end.
Yeah, and they're just beating, like, the earth is just being destroyed around them. People are literally being sucked into the air. Skyscrapers are falling.
There is so much energy that these two are creating. And then they land. Horse is okay. Horse is doing well.
No animals were harmed in the making of this.
Not one. Ken is bleeding profusely, almost to a disgusting level. Rao is bleeding, but he's like, let's get it on. I still want to fight you more. I feel like Ken is regretting his decision to take on Rao a lot.
Well, like, basically both of them bleed all over the place. Both of them go Super Saiyan. And,
he just cut his neck. What
do we have the...
We have the end. Yeah. Yes.
The, it reaches a point where, Rao is, like, getting ready to curb stomp the shit out of Ken. And then Lin shows up, of course, and is like, hey, don't do that.
All right, here we go.
And we have that clip.
Please wait. I gotta talk to you. It's important.
When she says, I gotta talk to you, she's talking to Rao.
Yeah.
Not Ken.
No.
Ken is laying on the ground, bleeding to death.
Yes.
All right, so here we go.
Please wait. I gotta talk to you. It's important.
Very well. What do you want?
To stop you from killing him. To stop all this killing.
Those who betray the Fist of the North Star deserve to die.
Powered without perception is spiritually useless and therefore of no true value.
Ryuk. You ask me to spare Ken's life, so be it.
Why?
Fate has entrusted him with a unique responsibility. The protection of someone on whom the Earth's future depends. Someone special. You. You have a responsibility, too.
He'll need looking after for a while, but you needn't worry. With his strength and a little care, his wounds will heal before long. If Ken wants to find me, tell him I'll be at Ryakin's grave, paying my respects.
All right, so there you go.
What kind of bullshit ass ending is that?
Yeah, so worth noting.
Blood splurting out of his head.
Worth noting, there was a revised ending to this on the Japanese like home releases.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the director, Toyo Ashida, realized. This ending doesn't make any goddamn sense.
He's not wrong.
He felt that the theatrical ending was unnatural due to the way that Rao abruptly decides to spare Ken's life. So the revised ending has, rather than Rao about to deliver the finishing blow and then being stopped, both Rao and Ken basically were evenly matched at the end and we're about to like kill each other, and then Lin is like, you guys shouldn't kill each other.
That seems to make a little bit more sense to me personally.
Right. Because this movie only like this only is the first fight between Ken and Rao. They fight again in the manga and presumably in the series.
Does Ken win in the end? Does he kill Rao?
But yeah.
Now I want to watch this insane fucking television program.
So Rao leaves. Ken leaves. Ken is like, I gotta go find Julia.
I gotta stop bleeding to death.
Yeah. Apparently just like rest. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He just needs to take a nap. He'll be fine.
Okay.
This is like
what the fuck?
Video game logic.
Right, I just got to take cover for a few seconds.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Let me let my foot off this pedal in Time Crisis.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, they basically give the notion of, like, the Earth is going to be not, quote-unquote, repopulated, but, like, they're going to be able to grow plants and everything else because of these magic seeds.
Right, like, Bat and Lin find flowers and plants sprouting and they're like, holy shit, that's awesome. And then at the very end, like, Ken is like wandering through the desert and finds a lake and trees, like a wonderful oasis of healthy green earth, and like expects to find Julia there. She's not there. Keeps wandering. That's the end of the movie. That's it.
Fuck you, movie. Like, come on. I expected to find her there. Why would she be there? Why? Why? That doesn't make any sense. But needless to say, this movie is fucking nuts. If you're in the mood for a insane animation or Japanese anime, I would highly recommend it. It's nuts. There's a lot of violence, like, to the point where you almost go, I don't think this is reasonable. But it's not reasonable, so that's okay. And it's on YouTube in its entirety. So thank you for listening to another episode of No Time to Bleed. We will be back, of course, next month with another absolutely nutso 80s movie or 90s movie, depending. but it will be an action movie, and it will be crazy. So look forward to that. Thank you, Carrie, for sitting in for No Time to Bleed.
Dude. Fist of the North Star. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
200 punches out of 5.
That is a proper score. That is a proper score. All right. We will see you guys next week for a, or just in a couple of days, we'll do obviously another episode of the Nerdpocalypse. You can find us at thenerdpocalypse.com. Of course, check out our other shows, Mouthful of Toast, Dense Pixels, Black on Black Cinema, all of those. They're all on iTunes and on their respective websites. All right, so we'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.